Let's look in verse 1 of Judges chapter 17. And there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. And he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursest and spakest also in mine ears, behold the silver which is with me, behold the silver is with me, I took it. And his mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now therefore I will restore it unto thee. Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder who made thereof a graven image and a molten image. And they were in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had a house of gods and a ephod and a teraphim and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now you need to remember that. And there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there. And the man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place. And he came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, as he journeyed. And Micah said unto him, whence comest thou? And he said unto him, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place. And Micah said unto him, dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest, and I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year, and a suit of apparel, and thy victuals. So the Levite went in. And the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest, and was in the house of Micah. And then said Micah, Now know I the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. You can be seated this morning. Help us now, Lord, I pray, for in your name, amen and amen. As we look at this scripture, I want to preach having a thought taken out of verse 11, where it says, and the Levite was content to dwell with the man. Now, a lot of places, I won't say a lot of places, but in some of the places in the Bible where we find the word contentment or to be content, it's spoken in a good thing. The Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul did, now that I speak in respect, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. The Apostle Paul, he went on to say, I both know how to be abased and know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul said that whatever state I'm in, I'm going to be content. And then the Apostle Paul, as he wrote in that to Timothy, he said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Notice he didn't say anything about lodging. He did not say anything about shelter. I always found that verse very interesting, that he said if we've got food and we've got raiment, in other words, if we've got clothes on our back, then we ought to be content as God's people. Hebrews chapter 13 said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now that word contentment means to be satisfied with a peace of mind that comes with that satisfaction. And so I think it's God's people I will to be in that, be satisfied, be content, and that with the blessings of God that He's given us in this life. Not to be covetous, not to be lustful, not to be jealous, and that of what other folks have, but just to be content, and that with the blessings of God on our life. But then we look right here, but this Bible says, or my Bible says, that this man was content, and that to dwell with the man. We're living in a time in this scripture. They're living in a time when there is no king in Israel. In other words, there's no rule, there's no authority. Bible went on to say, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Can I say that we're kind of living that way today? Folks doing whatever they want to do, whatever pleases them, whatever sounds good. And so we find a man by the name of Micah, who in that his mother makes a graven image, which the Bible said in the book of Exodus not to do. And then not only did they make a graven image, but he has taken one of his sons and consecrated him to be his priest. Listen, that ain't the way it works, amen. Listen, if you go back and you look in the Old Testament law, you go back to the end of the book of Exodus over there, I read it this morning before I left the house. God had set some things out, and that how that Moses was to anoint in that Aaron and Aaron's sons and the priest, and that would come from the Levitical tribe out of the lineage of Aaron. And so he has decided to do what he thought was right. I believe he was a religious man. His religion was just messed up. I believe there's a lot of folk that are religious, and they're doing the best that they know how, but your best ain't good enough, and it ain't going to get you there. Listen, he could have had his son do his priest, and it wasn't going to work. I don't think God was happy with that. And so here come this Levite. Now, he's of the right tribe. Now, he's of the right tribe and that to be a priest. But the Bible never says one time about him being the lineage and that of Aaron. And so we find that this man consecrates him to be a priest. What I always wondered when I read the scripture is what gave this man the right to consecrate anybody to be anything. Listen, you just can't pick what you want to do and choose what you want to do and say, well, I'm going to serve the Lord this way and He'll be happy with it or else. Listen, it don't work that way. It's going to be or else. I guarantee you that this morning. But Micah had stolen that money from his mother and they'd made a graven image out of it. He gave it back to her and a Levite comes along and he's got a house full of gods down here. And this Levite, he's looking for a place to go. He's looking for a place to be. And so, you know, when he comes by Micah's house, Micah said, why don't you just stop here? I want you to let me make you a priest. I'll give you 10 shekels of silver, a suit of apparel, and give you something to eat. And I'll take care of you. Hey, listen, there's a lot of men standing behind a pulpit this morning. That's what they've done for the church. They went because of money. They went because they're going to get took care of. Listen, I didn't come down here to get took care of. I come down here to preach. I come down here to be a pastor. I come down here to do my job. And so here he is. And so what does the Bible say? Now, I don't ever know why he left Bethlehem, Judah. I believe this is some 85 years in that before the time of Ruth. I don't know why he left Bethlehem, Judah. You remember why Naomi and Elimelech left Bethlehem, Judah? There was a famine down there. Amen. But for some reason, this Levite has left Bethlehem, Judah, and he's took off north and that to Mount Ephraim. And the Bible says that when he got there, I want you to look in verse 11, and the Levite was content to dwell with the man. I want to preach on the thought of, have we become content? I'm afraid that as a church, we become content with some things. We become satisfied and that with a peace of mind about some things. I think as Christians, we become content with some things. Now you can see where this message is fixing to go.
Come on.
Listen, this morning, they some things that I'm going to say that you may or may not agree with. But I want you to hear me out. Don't turn me off. And let this message be a help to you. He said, well, preacher, we attend the Bible, believe in church, we believe a King James Bible, we hear the right Bible preaching, we sing the right songs in the choir, we live right when we leave here. Why shouldn't we be content? I believe that when we become content, then we become satisfied. And when we become satisfied, we become to get a little lazy. And when we get a little lazy, we begin to stop what we're doing. This Levite, I don't know why he went out to sojourn, but when he went out and began to look for somewhere to be, and he got there, then he got content. And he's no longer looking for anywhere else to sojourn. If you go on and you read the next chapter, there are 600 men come by and desire him to be their priest. And you know what he does? He just gets all them golden idols in that out of Micah's house, loads them up, and them 600 men, and they take off. And he's just content to be with whoever wants him the most. And I'm afraid that's where we're headed today. Can I tell you, dear friend, that if you're lost, don't be content being lost.
Amen.
Don't be content. I'm afraid that we're living in such a day and age that folk have been rocked to sleep. Just being content. They're good in their nature. They're good. Hey, they ain't none of us good, but they think they are. And they're good in their works. They try to do well. Hey, they've got content being lost. I really believe that's the problem we've got today. Folk are content being lost. There's no longer any conviction. There's no longer anything that seems to disturb them in their salvation today. Don't look at just a few things. Now let's listen today, okay? Let's listen to what the preacher has to say. Have we become content? Number one, have we become content in this world? Can I tell you today that if you're saved, you shouldn't be content to live here. I mean, you shouldn't be content. There ought to always be something inside of you that says, hey, this thing ain't home. There should be a draw and that to the heavenlies above. Amen. Amen. If you go in that to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible said, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promises, in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him with the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. But you know one of the worst things that I'm afraid of? We've become content as Christians living here. Content. We're happy with things. We've got things going our way. We've got things, everything okay. There's no persecution, preacher. You know, we can come to church on Sunday and we can worship. And, you know, if we take the notion, we can witness. You know, if we just pay attention to what we're doing. I'm just afraid that we have fell in love with down here. We have set roots here. I don't want to set roots here. Listen, I don't want roots here. Yeah, I've got family here. I've got loved ones here. I've got you all here. But this ain't it. Hey, listen, the book of 2 Peter says this thing's going to burn up. It's all coming to an end one day. And then he said, what manner of person you ought to be in all holiness and godly conversation. Amen. Hey, this is burning up, man. I mean, it's coming to an end, but we've set our roots down here and we have become content to dwell here. Colossians chapter 3, he said, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. I know some of you are raising a family. I know that. I understand that. And listen, I don't think God don't want you to raise a family by no means. And that ain't what I'm saying. And I know, but look, you got to understand. We need to set our affection on things above. What did he say in Matthew chapter 6? He said, lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We've got our heart here. And we become content to live here. Do you realize that when we get there, that is for eternity. This is temporary. Why would you want to get your roots set somewhere that you know is temporary? Think about that for just a second. Why would you want to set your roots somewhere temporary? Don't you want to go to heaven? Amen. I look at you and you are you happy to be here today?
Yeah.
And just soon I just shut up and let's go home. And some of you ain't content to be here, I'll tell you that right now. Listen, this ain't our home.
Amen.
Songwriter said we're just a passing through. Hey, this is it. This is when it comes to an end. It's it. It's over with. Hey, but where we're going to next is for eternity. Amen. Hey, I'm glad heaven's real, ain't you? Do you know that you're going? Do you know you're going to heaven? I like that song we sung last. That's the reason I requested it. Felt like we needed to sing it. He wrote my name. Ain't you glad that He wrote your name in heaven? Ain't you glad that your name's written in heaven? Hey, that it got pinned down one day or one night. Hey, I got to thinking about that. We're singing that song. If I should live 100 years upon this earth below, I never shall. I forget the day. Hey, listen, I still remember that day that it happened. Amen. And I've been different ever since that I got saved. I don't want to be content living here. I don't want to be content. I'm afraid so many Christians have become content with this world. This young man was out sojourning and he landed in a spot and he got content. You know, we're just to be sojourners. You know what sojourning means? That means you're just passing through. That's what it means to sojourn. You remember what got got Elimelech and Naomi in trouble? They went down in the land of Moab to sojourn. Now, that's what your Bible says in Ruth chapter 1. They went to sojourn. And then in the very next verse in the Bible said, and they continued there. You know what? We're just here to sojourn. But I'm afraid some of us have decided that we want to continue here. You remember, if you remember part of the tribe there, one of those tribes out of the nation of Israel, when they got ready to cross Jordan, they looked at everything that was around them and they asked Moses, they said, hey, can we stay over here? Can we plant things and do things on this side of Jordan? It's so nice and it's so good. And Joshua said, you can stay over here. You're still going to have to go fight. You're going to have to help your brothers fight. But said, you can stay over here if you want to stay when the fighting's done. I don't want to stay over here. I don't want to be here. Hey, when it's all wrapped up, hey, I'm glad there's another place to go to one day after a while. I'm not content with here. I'm not content. We're just sojourning. Don't be content. If you say no, you got a home in heaven. If you're lost, you're dying and going to hell. Hey, listen, don't be content to die and go to hell. Don't be content and act to die lost in your sin. Why don't you get saved? Listen, don't be content. Don't be content with this world, in this world. Hey, we've got sucked in, and I say we. Listen, we get sold on so many things. We get sucked in on advertisement. We get sucked in on all these great things that the world has to offer, and we overlook all the blessings that the Lord has. A lot of people say, well, I'm so heavenly minded, I ain't no earthly good. I don't know any of us that can get there. Amen. But I think we need to get our mindset on heaven and quit being content here. And don't be set on heaven. Number two, have we become content with the church? Have you become content with the world, living in the world? I'm not content with it. I'm not content with the world. I'm not content with the news that comes out of the world. I'm not content with everything that the world does. It's just sin, one right after another. But listen, I ain't content with the church neither. What do you mean you ain't content with the church? Ain't the Lord content? Do you think the Lord's content with you? Let me ask you that. Let's ask that question. Is the Lord content with you? Is the Lord happy with you? Is the Lord happy with me? Hey, listen, we come into the church sometimes and we've got so much of the world on us and so much of the world's rubbed off on us through the week that by the time we get in a place to worship that we can do something, it's time to go home. Time to go home. We've been content to live in the world all week, and then we come in here and we expect God to just show up and do His job without us doing ours. You know, you don't get anything out of the service unless you put something into the service. Amen. Amen. Some of you just come to the choir, you don't come to the choir no more. Don't know why you don't get anything out of the service. Some of you used to come to Sunday school. You don't come to Sunday school no more. Don't know why you don't get anything out of the service. But you're content. Content. Just content to come when you can. Content to miss when you can. I'm telling the truth, ain't I?
Amen.
We've got content. I'm not trying to be mean or beat you up. I'm just showing you that we become content. And when we become content, we get lazy at things. I've watched myself in the past year get content over some things. Get content. You know, I used to pray every week that God would come by when the choir sung. I always pray when I always pray that he'll come by when I preach. Sure, I want him to come by when I'm preaching. So I remember a time that I used to pray when he'd come by when the choir sung. And I'd pray, Lord, would you come by in the special singing and touch somebody and do something. But somewhere along the line, that slipped out of my prayer life. And I've become content just to pray for the Lord to help me. Instead of helping somebody else. Let me ask you something. Did you pray for the service this past week? Coming up today, you pray for it? You ask God to help? Lord, help our singing. Help our Sunday school teachers. Help our preacher. Lord, you know how he is. He's a mess. You're going to have to help him. Hey, listen, I'm not content with me. I'm not content with my preaching. Hey, I feel when I get content with my preaching, I'm in trouble. I can always preach better. I can always study more. I can always pray more. I listen, but when I get content with me, that's when I'm in trouble, you see. And I'm afraid that we've got content with the amount of service that we're putting into the church. We're just content. I'll do what I can when I can, preacher. I think the Lord wants us to do more than that. I think the Lord wants us not to be content with us. Not to be content in our giving. Hey, you're going to preach on giving about our money? No, really, I'll be honest with you. In giving, you got to give your time. Oh, you need to give your tithes. There's no doubt about that. You need to give your treasure, and I'll deal with that later. Maybe I'll deal with it right now. Hey, listen, there's a difference between giving you tithes and giving you treasure. I really believe that friend, in giving you tithes, it's what's required out of us, that 10% that we make. But then we talk about giving our treasure. That's our offering unto the Lord. You say, I'm giving all I can. Preacher, I'm being serious. I'm giving all. If you're giving all that you can, good. If God, if you're content with what you're given, and God's content with what you're given, okay. Now, I'm not asking for your rent money, your light bill money, your house payment money, your gas money. I ain't asking for that stuff. I was talking to a preacher the other day, talking to a deacon the other day at a church, and he was telling me about a young preacher had been somewhere, and he said that his preacher, they were taking up an offering for something and didn't get what they needed, so they sent it around again. I don't believe in that. You might do that, but if you go over there and you read the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it talks about not giving out of necessity. I'm not going to shame you into giving. If you won't give, that's between you and the Lord. I believe if you go over there and you read 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, but he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. He's literally talking about giving money right there and back to the poor saints. He's talking about giving what you need to give. Hey, listen, but I'm not going to shame you into it. But I will tell you that when we get content with some things, we get in trouble. I don't pray about what goes in the offering plate. Don't pray about it. Don't have to pray about it. All my wife has to do is simple math. We make this much this week, and 10% of that equals out to this much.
Amen.
And she cuts a check, puts it in the offering plate. Sometimes she puts a little more on the end of it. Sometimes she don't. But we do simple math. And then when that offering plate comes around during Sunday school, and that for the mission offering, we give X amount there too.
Yeah.
Now that I pray about. That I talk to the Lord about. I've done that a lot.
Amen.
Not that I change what I give. Last time I talked to him about it, he said, give X amount. And I believe until I hear something from heaven, I'm going to keep giving X amount. That's what I'm going to do. You can ask my wife. I get a little tore up if we ain't got the right amount of change. I'll start digging through my pocket trying to get the right stuff figured out, you know. Hey, I prayed about this stuff. How do we get over here? Oh, being content. We get content sometimes. Well, I'm throwing in. Let me ask you something. Do you think your service ends when the ushers come around and you put your offering in? Do you think that's all you owe God? I'm afraid some people do. Well, I've given my tithe. I give my money. I'm content. I think we owe him far more than that. I'm not content with me in church. I'm not. I think I can do better in everything that I do. I think I can be a better pastor. I thought somebody might say amen right there. I think I can study more. I think I can pray more. I think I can preach better. But when I become content, then I'm not going to worry about them things. I'm not going to pray hard. I'm not going to study hard. It's when we become content that we just get lazy. I don't want to be content. You know what he told the church over in, I believe it was in Revelation chapter 3, was it Sardis? I believe, let me make sure I get the church name right. Man, they had a name that they were alive, but they were dead. That's what he told them in Revelation chapter 3. I believe it was Sardis that he told this to. It was. He said, I know thy works. He said, church, right, he said, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. But he told them in verse 2, he said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. We know what we need to do. It's just a matter of doing it sometimes. You say, well, preacher, you're wanting me to do this and this and this, and we've got all this time over here that we need to spend here, and I know you're just working a job, trying to raise a family. I know that. But I just don't want us to get content in our service for the Lord. We become satisfied and say, well, I've done enough. Can I tell you something? There's no way in this world that we can do enough. We owe him our whole life. From now on to the very end. And we still couldn't pay him enough. That's why I don't want to get content. I owe him. I owe him way too much. I owe him way too much. Hey, we become content in our worship. Have we become content in our worship? Just go to church and go home. Go to church and go home. Go to church and go home. Worship does not always mean that we're going to shout the house down, by the way. I do like that. Amen. I do like to feel good when I come. But worship is putting us, putting him in the place where he belongs. In other words, on his throne. And worship is putting us where we belong, in a place of humility. And so then we come in and we worship. And we see him. And then we learn of him. I don't want to be content. I just don't want to come and just say that we had church. I want to come and have church. I don't want to be content just saying we done it. That's like having revival. You can schedule revival and have it Monday through Friday, and you can say that you had revival, but if God didn't come by, didn't have revival. And I just don't want to be content with church. I don't want to be content with me in church. I always want to be about the Lord's business. Content with our witnessing and soul winning. I don't ever want to be content with that. Hey, listen, the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 3, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Don't want to be content with witnessing and soul winning. I had a preacher tell me one time, he said, I can remember a time when I kept tracks with me all the time, and he said, everywhere I went, I'd try to pass out a track. And he said, but don't do that anymore. And I always kind of wondered, what happened? What happened? He said, well, we don't have to do that. How else you going to publish the gospel? How is she going to present the gospel? Hey, the Bible said, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy, and he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, that's the word of God, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. How do you live in front of other people? How's your life? Folk that know that you're a Christian. Because you know, some people, you're not going to be able to win with the word of God. How do you know that? If you go look at the book of 1 Peter, he tells them wives over there that have lost husbands. He said, you have that godly conversation and you live it in front of them. Those that can't be one with the word can be one without the word. What's he saying, preacher? He's saying you live godly in front of your husband. And he said, by the way that you're living, that Christ-like example that's in front of them is going to make a difference in
them. Amen.
I don't want to be content when I go to town to just go to town and have my head down and walk and get out of town without somebody, without me talking to somebody about the Lord. You say, I ain't cut that way, preacher. I ain't neither. Believe it or not, I ain't neither. I had to get that way. Me and my wife was in a restaurant the other day and where they had a bench about like this where we just sitting there to wait and get our order. They didn't have any room for us to eat. That's how popular that place is. I love it. Well, it was the fish house. And so we're sitting there, and so there's a lady come down through here, and me and my wife was sitting here, and I just smiled at her and spoke to her, and she said, should I know you? I said, no, ma'am. You shouldn't know me. But I said, you just had such a wonderful disposition on your face, I couldn't help but say something to you. And just strike up a conversation. A lot of times, and my wife will tell you this, a lot of times before I get done with that conversation, I'm going to find out if you know the Lord or not.
Yeah, praise God.
And you're either going to lie to me or tell me the truth one way or another. I think that's important. You say, oh, you're one of them fellers. Listen, I'll just ask them if they go to church anywhere. If they don't go to church, I invite them. And if they do go to church, then I ask them if they know the Lord. I say, well, you're a saved person then. And see what they have to say. I'm a little careful about how I word things sometimes. I don't want to lead anybody in the wrong way. But listen, I think we ought to not be content with our witnessing and our soul winning. You know what we've become, and this is one of my very favorite sayings. You know what we've become? We've become keepers of the aquarium instead of being fishers of men. We've got a church full of saved people, and yeah, we're to disciple, and yeah, we're to teach. But why are we to disciple? Why are we to teach? So that others can go out and win others to the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it just repeats itself over and over and over again. If we don't do soul winning now, you know what's going to happen? A generation later, this church is going to die. I'm looking at them right now. I can talk to people and talk to preachers now. There is nobody getting saved in their churches. And all they've got is older folk. What's going to happen when they all die out? What's going to happen to that church? Now think about that for just a second. Think about that with me. When we get content, then we're not going to win nobody to the Lord. We're just happy. I think there's a lot of folks sitting in churches that are content with their four. We got four and we don't want no more. John chapter 4 said, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. I just don't think we need to get content. In church, I don't think we need to get content in our soul winning. If you ain't soul winning, try, start, do something. Go out and live Christ-like before somebody. Hey, I'm going to be honest with you. They, some folk, you're going to have to straighten up in front of. You've not lived right in front of them. They know you're a Christian. They know you're a church member, but you ain't been doing right in front of them. You're going to have to straighten up in front of them. Get some things straightened out with the Lord. I don't want to be content in this world. I don't want to be content with church. I want to be content with my soul winning. I don't want to be content with sin in my life. I mean, we've got a nation that's become content with sin. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is reproached to any people. We've just become content with it. Content. Don't want to be content with sin. Well, preacher, everybody else is doing it. I don't care what everybody else is doing. Whereby us is letting their children do it, that don't mean you have to do it. I'm being honest today. I mean, I'm being honest that we have become people that have become content. We're just content. And so when we become content, we don't move. We don't do. You content to let your lost folk die and go to hell? My preacher, I ain't content to let them do it. When's the last time you tried to win them to the Lord? Well, I'm not trying to shove it down their throat, but I ain't asking you to shove it down their throat. I'm asking you, when's the last time you tried to win them to the Lord? I'm asking you, when's the last time that friend that you lived that life in front of them that was pleasing unto the Lord? When's the last time that you said maybe a little word to them? Hey, won't you come to church on Sunday? Hey, have you ever thought about getting saved? Hey, heaven's, hey, eternity's getting close. You need to do something. We're running out of time. Amen. Bible said in the book of Ephesians, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We're running out. I don't know how we got back on that. But we're just running out. We're running out. I don't want to be content. Don't want to be content in my soul winning. Don't want to be content with sin. There's nothing we can do to change this world, preacher. There's the problem. We've got to believe in that. We've got to believe in that we can't make a difference. We've let the world tell us so much that we can't make a difference. We've let them tell us, sit down and shut up. We don't want to hear what you have to say. And so we become content to just be keepers of the aquarium. We're to flee from sin, be separated from sin. We're to stay away from this world and just be uncontent or incontented or uncontent. I don't know what you'd say right there. Discontented. Man, I made up a lot of words through there, didn't I? We ought not to be contending, should we? Let me ask you something. Do you think you should be contented in your marriage? You say, well, sure, preacher, I ought to be contented in my marriage. Marriage takes work, don't it? I pray all the time for me to be a better husband. I think that'd be a good thing for you men to do. Not because I do it, but because I believe the Bible wants us to be a good husband. Right. I believe He wants you daddies to be a good daddy. Amen. Pray to be a good daddy. Lord, I want to be a good daddy. You mamas, pray to be a good mama. Don't be content in just being the mother that you are now, but say, Lord, I want to be a better mother. I want to be a better wife. I think we get content in a lot of things. And I think you get content on the job. You know how to do your job. If things run along just fine, we get content. Don't you want to be better at it? Don't you want to be better in raising your kids? If you're still raising young'uns, don't you want to be better at it? It's I'm doing all I can. Just don't be content. Be doing all that you can. Just don't be content. Because when we get content, that's where we get in trouble. You content with letting the TV raise your children? You content with letting public school raise your children? I just don't want to be content. I want to be happy. But when it comes to spiritual matters, and I'll be honest with you, my house is a spiritual matter.
Yeah, amen.
It is. My house is a spiritual matter. Because what happens in my house is overflows into my spiritual life.
Amen.
You might be able to separate all that mess out. I don't know how that you can, but I can't. And I want to be better at everything I do. I just don't want to be content. I want to be a better Christian. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better pastor. I want to be a better preacher. I just don't want to be content.
Right.
I just don't want to be content. Because when we get content, I'm afraid we ain't pleasing the Lord. Let's bow our heads across the house. Yes, a verse of invitation if we would. Have you become contented with some things that you shouldn't become contented with? Maybe you're lost this morning. You've never been saved. Don't be content being lost. Don't be satisfied with a peace of mind. Listen, don't be. But church, this morning, I'm asking you. I'm not saying not to be happy in your life. I'm not saying not to have peace in your life and in your heart. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that in our service for Him, there's always room for improvement. There's always room for us to do more. There's always room to grow. I just don't want contentment to set in. Because when contentment sets in, we get lax and we get lazy. I remember a time here at the church here in just the past few years. We were wide open and going, doing, trying. Folk got excited. But you know what I'm afraid I've seen in the past few years? We've all got content. We've all got content with the number that's in the church. We've got content with the way things are headed and the way things are going. Sunday school's doing okay. And we've just got content. Hey, listen, there's some up here praying. There's some of these ladies up here praying. How about you mingling? Contentment. Well, that's great contentment in the Lord. When you're doing everything you can for Him, can I tell you this? When you're doing all that you know that you can do for Him, I believe it's all right to be content. But it's when we hit that point and we say, you know, we're doing enough, preacher. We're doing enough, Lord. We're doing okay. And we get content. I don't want to be that way. I just don't want to be content. It gets us in trouble. It gets us in trouble.